Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Apex Theory. We talk about everything Apex Legends, and Lucas is back. Sadly, this episode is not in person. It's FaceTime for call. But how you doing, Lucas? You enjoying Fight Night event?
Well, I feel like you're a bad person if you don't land at the ring. Because everyone's landing there.
Okay, we'll get into that in a little bit, but if you don't already know, we're talking about the Fight Night event today. Probably a little shorter of an episode because, you know, sometimes there's just not as much content to cover. But this was a new update, Fight Night event, everything. And yeah, today's new segment we have a couple new segments, but instead of, we're just going to call it Ask the Legends from now on. It's where we read reviews. We do it every podcast episode. We do only have one podcast episode or podcast review to go over today. And it is from Clutch Kebab coming back at us with again. Lucas, why is this man keep writing back to us? Like, he's the only one.
I don't know, man. I mean, y'all gotta do it. Y'all gotta compete with Clutch Kebab.
I know, that's a dedicated listener right there.
Yeah, y'all gotta beat him.
Okay, he said, this is from Clutch Kebab, 5-star review. Hyped? Question mark. Are you guys hyped for ALGS Winter Circuit, or what? Lucas, are you hyped for ALGS Winter Circuit?
Yes, sir, I am. I don't think I'm gonna watch it live again.
Yeah, Lucas watched his first tournament of EU live, and that's gotta be, like, the worst decision you can make when it comes to AOGS, because,
like,
I mean, it's EU, so it's slower, because they're not as much aggressive teams in it, and, I mean, it's like any tournament, there's 30 minutes of commentary in between every game.
Exactly.
Definitely, like, don't do that, listeners. Wait a day, wait till it's over, and then, there's always timestamps for every match, so just do that, and you'll be set. And, yeah, we have another new segment. We will be doing this every week or so, depending on if there is a team that we can introduce to it. So, this is basically our Hall of Fame. So, we're only going to be putting certain teams, like, it's not going to be esports orgs, but we're going to be, like, teams that have done amazing stuff to make them worthy of the Hall of Fame. This first team is probably the legacy team of all Apex Legends and the most known one. TSM is the team we're going to be putting in, but sadly, Snipedown will not be included in it. It'll just be Imperial Hal, Reps, and Albert Lely, because that was the squad trio that won the championship and 5 times and just had that huge tournament streak and just has performed amazing until, of course, Season 6, when Albert Lely just stopped playing for the whole season until the end of ALGS with Team Liquid, which I'm not really going to go into because I was kind of dramatizing it all, but yeah. Now Snipedown's on there, and hopefully if TSM makes some big plays and stuff, maybe we can enter in Snipedown into the Hall of Fame with them. But what are you thinking about, like, why we put Imperial Hal and Reps and Albert into the Hall of Fame for us?
Yeah, like, it's a really great combo. Albert Lely's more on the aggressive side, Rep's more passive, and then, like we've said so many times on this podcast, TSM Imperial, it's just a great mix of everything.
Yeah, he's a great leader, definitely represents TSM the best.
Yeah, and just, like, Snipedown, he can get a little too aggressive sometimes and just, get knocked, which doesn't benefit TSM.
Yeah, it goes for kills a lot.
Yeah, if he doesn't finish the entire squad.
That's the thing. For ALGS, you can't go for a ton of kills all the time. Because, yeah, you might have some fun and get a couple KP, but that placement, you're going to miss out on. And it's going to drag your team down. But, yeah. And, I don't know, one thing people were talking about this is, like, what if Imperial Hal was taken off TSM and it was Reps, Albert Lely, and Snipedown?
Why?
I know. I mean, I cannot see that happening. If anything, I can see Reps getting replaced by Albert Lely. There's no way they're taking Snipedown off when they just signed him because that's just money wasted right there. Is Snipedown just going to go play for Team Liquid like Albert Lee? No, they're not going to do that. Albert Lee is only playing with Team Liquid because Team Liquid needed a third. That's good. And Albert Lee quit with TSM, and they're not just going to boot Snipedown off, like we just said, when they just signed him, to have Albert Lee come take his spot again. Like, that's dumb. No, they're not having that. So, yeah, I mean, if anything, it's Albert Lee over reps. But yeah, so that's now our Hall of Fame introduction for TSM. And we'll be doing this occasionally, not as often as normal episodes. Like, it's not a normal every episode segment because there's not enough teams to introduce into the Hall of Fame. We might have one or two more, but this is a big thing. It's not just like, kind of like how baseball is. We haven't had years and years and years of Apex, or it's not each player individually. It's the whole trio, which is why Snipedown's not in it. But yeah, Lucas, you think we'll be doing another one next week? Probably, right? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we'll be doing one next week with one more team, and then we'll probably just have to wait for a while till then to see who else can make it.
Sarah Tree.
Yeah, Lucas wasn't done watching the playoffs, and I was like, he's like, don't tell me who wins, and I told him Sarah Tricky won, and he was like, bro, you just ruined the whole playoffs for me. I'm not even going to watch it anymore. And if you listen to our last couple episodes, Sarah Tricky did not win. That was Complexity. And he kept watching, and he was like, at the end, I was like, who won? And he was like, no, Sarah Tricky. It's just kind of funny. But yeah, we have one more topic to get into before we get into Fight Night Event, the big hype we've been waiting for. So, this is, I did not see this. I know it's been a while since playoffs, but I did not see this until a couple days ago. So, TSM lost playoffs to a bug. So, I'm going to walk you through this slowly so it doesn't get complicated. So, they're in game 9. They're on a Flashpoint, which means they only need to win one more game to win all the playoffs, the big money, all of that, to be the champ, 5-6 times champions. So, there's four squads left. It's TSM, Aim Assist, Complexity, and I do not remember the third. I apologize for that if you're fans of them and you know. So, TSM's on one side of the bridge on Countdown, and Aim Assist is on the other side of the Countdown bridge. Aim Assist is pushing on that side, and Reps, Bubbles, and Gibbyolts on the middle of the bridge. Aim Assist does not have their bubble yet. It's still on cooldown, and so they can't bubble yet. And he throws the Gibby ult. It makes the noise. You see the big red blare and everything. But it bugged out, and the ult never came down. They used their bubble real quick, and they went into a quick bubble fight. Reps and TSM, or Reps and Imperial, Hal get knocked. It's all up to Snipedown. Aim Assist comes down and kills Snipedown. Snipedown dies, TSM's out of the tournament for good, because later that game, Complexity goes on to win. Why is this so significant? Because this is TSM, one of the biggest teams, if not the best team. They're making a big, recently at least, a big comeback towards Complexity for the title of best team. But, I mean, they won the playoffs, so. But here's why this is such a big deal. Because the circle is pushing towards, when the circle is moving, TSM, their ult would have gone down, Aim Assist would have died. Well, it would have got them really low, because they didn't have bubble. And they can't do anything else to avoid the bombardment. So Aim Assist would be low, they can push them, quickly kill them all off, and then push into circle, and they have a great spot to hold on circle. They have a huge, giant, like, crate box they can hold there that has great positioning, and then, so they can hold that crate, and it's great positioning, better than Complexity's, and the other team, like I said, I did not remember their team name, and there's two guys on Complexity left, one guy on the other team. TSM would have a full squad, so they can just hold that, and quickly push in to win the playoffs in everything. The big money, the huge title, best team of ALGS so far, at least for Autumn Circuit. So that's why that's such a big deal. I was pretty mad at this. We'll get into our thoughts a little bit more right after this break. And a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey guys, go right now check out the Courier Creative. And they are a media service and content brand specializing in producing, designing, distributing, and publishing, and creating content that sends a message. So go check them out right now and show them some love.
Hey, welcome back. So, with the bug with TSM, like, there's a lot of what-ifs to it, I think. Because, yes, like Jameson said, they would have picked off people, they would have gotten good positioning. But, I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs to that. I think they would have won, but other people may have some different opinions than me. I think that's so unlucky. Like, when you're at the highest level, that shouldn't be a problem. Like, that, I fault Apex on that, kind of.
I know, man, because, like, if you have, like, back in Season 5, they had all the way to Season 8 already made up. Everything was made. Everything was planned and made, and they just hadn't released it all yet. So exactly. If you have all of that made 3 seasons ahead, you shouldn't be having problems and bugs where a completely ultimate doesn't work. Like, I get there's bugs in the game every time, like, for all games. But, like, that shouldn't be a thing this far into the season in ALGS.
Exactly.
Like, that is for huge amounts for money. Like,
exactly.
I don't know. Got anything else to say on that?
Hey, they say West Coast servers are better than East Coast servers.
I mean, that's actually kind of true. But yeah. Hey, they were getting better ping on Japanese servers than American servers, so.
Japanese?
I don't know, man. It's all up to the pros, I guess. And, okay, now let's dive into the actual Fight Night event that released yesterday. So, yesterday Fight Night event update goes in. Everything's brand new. See, the big hype of this is the Gibraltar's Heirloom. So, when we talked about this in Heirloom Media, we thought it was going to be the thing on his finisher. And to be honest, I really don't like that. That looks disgusting. And to get this, it's not available for 2 weeks. 2 weeks from yesterday. So, it's not available to buy, like, with shards. So, if you're saving shards, you gotta wait a while. Which, if you did get shards, congratulations. It's an amazing moment for you in Apex. But anyway, like all collection events, that when they release an heirloom, or just are using an old heirloom like they did recently with the Pathfinder gloves, you have to buy all 24 collection event packs, which each one is different. You're not gonna get the same thing in 2 packs. So, there's, like, all those skins. You should buy all 24 collection events packs with regular Apex coins, and you get the heirloom for free. So you get, like, you get poses, everything, and the heirloom. It's all great. So what are your thoughts on this? Is the Gibby main with your guy's heirloom coming out?
It's so tempting. I want, like, I mean, I probably will just give in to the temptation at some point.
And buy it?
Yeah, I'll probably get it at some point. Probably in the next week here.
I mean, I don't blame you. I'm probably gonna do it too. It's like a miniature, like, club axe. But the best part of it, in my opinion, is when he swings it, fire comes flying off. It just looks sick.
It's just amazing.
There's one quip of him when he does it. He bangs his shield, like, 3 times with it, and then bangs his chest like a barbarian or something. It's hilarious, and it looks sick, man.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. It's so cool, man.
I know. Like, even though I'm not even a Gibby main, and I don't even play him very often, except for when I need to fill in for Clan Wars and stuff, I'm probably gonna get it.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Anything else on the Gibraltar heirloom?
sick, man. There's nothing else to say.
How does it feel to, like, have your main get an heirloom after, like, all of these other legends, you see them get their mains over time?
Like, why? Apex? Why? Why now?
I mean, honestly, though, why did they wait forever to give Gibraltar an heirloom? Like, he's the second guy in line and choosing and developing, like, why, man? Like, actually, like, why?
Because they wanted to make more money off of it, because everyone would want it. It came out in the seventh season.
That's smart. That's actually smart business right there.
Yeah.
And one thing that was surprising to me in this event was, so you see, when in the trailer and everything, you see Trenchcoat Pathfinder skin. Separate skin. It's not in the collection event packs. Which, like, why? That's really what everyone's wanting, besides the Gibraltar heirloom, obviously. But, like, actually, that's what everyone's buying these for the Trenchcoat Pathy skin. It looks pretty sick. But what are your thoughts on it?
The Pathy trench coat?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a Pathy man. Like, I play him in pubs. Like, he's my second go-to, for pubs, if there's a Gibraltar.
For sure.
But, like, I don't know. I don't think a whole lot of it. Like, I'd rather have the racer skin for them than that, honestly.
I mean, it makes sense, though. There's so much hype around it. Why not charge $25 for it in just regular shop? Like, it makes more sense, to be honest. It's good business there by Apex. And, I mean, honestly, good job for them. I'm not going to be picking it up because, like, I don't play it in anything except for pubs. Because Pathy's probably one of the most fun legends to play in pubs. Like, he's picked a lot, actually. Quite. The only problem I have with him, again, like we talked about in the last episode, is why the frick does his passive still have to be the beacon scan? Like, every other recon legend has that, plus another passive.
Yeah, that's when Bloodhound really shifted into the meta a lot.
Oh, for sure, bro.
Bro, like, I think Pathy obviously has to have the same thing, but he needs something else.
Yeah, because otherwise it doesn't, like, there's not really as much reason to be playing him in comp anymore. That's one reason why he was ranked pretty low in our comp legend rankings. But now let's get on back to it more of the Fight Night event. So when you're dropping the ring, like Lucas mentioned earlier, it's not the ring like the storm. It's an actual POI called the ring. So when you go into it, it's punching and kicking only, so melee. And you can heal, there's armor that you can find around it, and, like, you can carry guns in it, but you can't shoot them, and, like, you're always having your fists only. Fists, melee only. So it looks, awesome. It looks actually pretty sick, though, when you have an heirloom with it, because, like, I had these gloves, the Wraith knife, I don't remember what it was called for Wraiths, I know that's actually got a real name, but I don't remember the name
of it. It's a Kanai.
Yeah, Kanai. And Bloodhound's weird axe.
And fire axe.
Yeah, fire axe. Oh, bro, that'd be so sick to be using Gibby's club in there, his war club. Oh, that looks so clean.
That would look really cool.
But, I mean, I have a tip and trick at the end of this on what you need to be doing when you're going into the ring to fight people. Like, otherwise, you're absolutely failing in those fights. But what are your thoughts on this ring? The ring that came out for Pathfinder's event, Fight Night.
Like, I don't know. I landed it the first time. Didn't really think much of it. So I've normally just rotated there on the outside skirts.
It's normally smarter.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's sick. Yeah. It's normally smarter, though, to rotate into it than just land there because it's a lot hot, less time to heal. And what I've seen a lot of things happen to people is, one team's in there, and then another team just comes in and third parties you as soon as you are really low and just defeated the team. But what are you saying?
It's like every single person is landing there because, it's only there for like 6 days, so.
Well, 2 weeks, but yeah.
Yeah,
it makes sense. It's like all the other collection event ones, normal. But I don't know, I'm hyped to hopefully get that early.
I was kind of freaked out for a sec because when I saw Apex updating on my console, I was like, Is there another season I don't know about?
That is the question, though. What is our episode going to be the week before the season, new season? We'll have to find out then. And, yeah, we have one more thing to get into for our tips and tricks. So, why are these pros not buying the heirloom and giving this heirloom such bad feedback and everything? Like, saying it's trash, not even buying all the packs, only buying a couple just so they can get the skins. Like, honestly, I'm not buying the pack for the skins. Like, yeah, the skins are cool. I'm going to equip them for the people I don't already have legendaries for because, I mean, I really like my Wraith and Bloodhound skin that I have now on Gibby. But, hey, the heirloom's what I'm here for. But, like, seriously, Lucas, why are the pros and content creators not buying the heirlooms and saying it's not cool?
Yeah, like, I mean, it almost seems like it's kind of hard because it's basically taking something that is the rarest thing in Apex. Like, who gets an heirloom on their first day playing Apex?
True.
So it's like, it's basically...
Makes it less special.
Apex players have Apex coins. So basically, most people are going to have the heirloom if they're a Gibraltar main. Every Gibraltar is most likely going to have the heirloom.
I'm not a Gibraltar main. I'm going to have it.
Exactly.
I mean,
more people too.
I know what you mean. It kind of makes it less special of a moment than when you get heirloom shards. It's like, oh, great heirloom shards. I already have the Gibby one. What am I going to buy now? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I know what you mean. It makes it less special. But what they're going to be doing in the future, kind of nice, kind of a little less cool, like we just talked about now, brings the fun out of it, is future events from now on, they're going to be, instead of a new heirloom releasing it in the collection event, they're going to be releasing it, and then if you buy all 24 packs, you get 150 heirloom shards, so you can buy whatever heirloom you want.
Bro, I know people who are level 500s and they've never gotten a single shard in any of their packs. Like, I'm not a huge fan of that.
Me neither, but I don't know. It's kind of cool, kind of not. Exactly, what you gonna do? And now let's move into tips and tricks, goals for the week. So my tip and trick, this is what I was saying, it's got more to do with the Fight Night event, so... When you're landing ring or rotating in there, you need a triple stack. So basically, all three of your teammates need to be running in there at the same time into the ring and each taking on one teammate. You cannot die together. Like, if one person dies, you better have gotten them low, man, because otherwise that's going to be really bad for your teammates. So that's my tip and trick for this week is triple stack when running into the arena for the ring. It's just better because... You're not really going to be taking on 1v3s or 2v3s. It's going to be a lot harder, especially since it's melee, not gun skill, because, like, pros, easy. Pros can take on 1v3s in pubs.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I hope you guys have fun with that in the ring. Lucas, what's your tip and trick for the week?
My tip and trick is, go play ranked. Like, this is probably the best time to play ranked because, I mean, if you're a lower level, like, if you don't play ranked as much as me and Jameson do, which we basically play only ranked.
Exactly. In Clan Wars and tournaments, obviously.
Yes, sir. If you're low ranked, then it's like cutting through butter. And if you're high-level experience, like, the servers are so easy right now. I mean, sadly, I'm a higher level. But even for me, they're getting pretty easy. So, just go play some ranked, man.
Yeah, man.
I don't care if you're bronze 4 right now. Play ranked.
Yeah, man, this week we were crushing it, getting several easy dubs on ranked. Great damage games. But yeah, now on to goals for the week. My goal for the week is to get better with our trio for our clan, practice up for Clan Wars, because past couple weeks, we've been trying out several thirds, and, like, last couple weeks, we've had ones that are either really toxic and mean, or ones that suck and either don't aren't picking the legends that we that they're supposed to be running for us and everything. Like one time, I'm not gonna call this person out, but we had a person pick, they were supposed to be our Wraith, and they were like, I'm an insane Wraith, and they showed us Wraith, they weren't amazing, just alright, never really portaled for us, kept wanting to land spots that we weren't committed as a team to trying to master. And then one game they just switched over to Bangalore for no reason in the middle of ranked. And when you're that high up, it's not really good to be switching legends without discussing it, no warning. And it didn't really work because I was sniping with a triple take, got two shots off him, he's 1 HP basically. He literally smokes the guy, shoots a smoke grenade there, and I can't see him. And then the guy ends up coming up behind me and kills me. And then we lost a lot of RP that game because of that. So, we've finally found a really committed, good Wraith for our third. Me is the Bloodhound, Lucas is the Gibby. So we're just going to be grinding ranked in scrims until we can get prepared for those Clan Wars and tourneys. So what's your goal for the week, man?
My goal for the week is just to really, like, I'm trying to adapt to more guns. Because, like I said a while ago in this podcast, I don't like burst weapons, but I gotta admit, the Hemlock's kind of growing on me, and, I mean, I realize it's a good gun. I mean, it's gonna take a little bit, but, I mean, it's a good gun. I'm starting to like using it, but
yeah.
I'm just trying to adapt. Like, I've been using triple takes a lot. Triple takes and wingman.
It's true. Going from R301s, flatlines, and Spitfires in devotions is not fairly easy from transitioning from those types of guns to Hemlocks, because the play of it's a lot different. With R301s and the other ones, you're typically going to be aiming in, or like aiming down sight the whole time in close-range fights. But then when you have those burst weapons, you really, in shotguns, you're going to be wanting to move a lot more. Moving is key. Like, a lot of times you see these pro players, the only reason why they're so amazing is because they have such good movement, not as much aim talent. But, so, like, you really want to be crouching rapidly or moving around a lot. Or just in general, you want to be hit-firing with those burst weapons. You cannot aim down sight. Because it's a burst weapon, you're going to have that 1 to 2 seconds where the gun isn't firing. Less pressure, you're not going to be hitting shots. You just really want to be moving and evading their shots as much as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I really think you just described Lulu Lovely right there.
Hey, she's great at Apex. Go check her out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, thanks for listening to this episode of Apex Theory, guys. Go check us out on Apple Podcasts. Give us a follow. Or on Spotify. Drop a sub on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. We'll listen to it and read it on next podcast episode. Go check out my Twitch at Knights of Ren 56. And, yeah, follow me. I stream weekly. Maybe hop in the chat. We'll talk sometime. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. Peace.